From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Y. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall.
Halfies, if you ever heard of that.
What's halfies?
It's like a stick, kind of like a broomstick. And you call it the tennis ball in half. So it's like baseball, but it's just half tennis ball and a stick.
I remember I asked some girl if she was going to class. And she said, what? And I said, are you going to class? Like, what are you doing right now? She said, what is that? I was like, class, where a teacher teaches you. And she's like, oh, you mean class, or class. Yeah, I'm going. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, Shai, clearly, these people are from the area, right?
Yeah, obviously.
How can you tell?
They have a Philly accent.
Of course they do. And this is a very familiar accent for us. I mean, we live here. Many of the people we know talk like this. It's a very Philly John.
It's very Philly John. Yeah, this is how most of my friends talk, certainly, you know, the friends I had growing up.
Right. Well, Shai, what if I told you that the accent we all know and love is changing and that a lot of what makes it the Philly accent is kind of going away?
I'd say, what?
Yeah, that it's true. According to some research out of the University of Pennsylvania, whether or not you have a Philly accent depends on a bunch of things, like what high school you went to, whether your parents have it, and your race. Also, those dreaded millennials are killing it.
Yeah, I've always said millennials aren't good for very
much. No, they're not. But why is the accent changing with younger generations?
I mean, I think we should probably ask the researcher.
No, that's our big question for this episode.
Oh, right. Now we're going to introduce the show. Okay, so you want me to do that?
Yeah, please, go for it.
Today on The Y, the Philly accent then and now. Betsy Sneller is a linguist at Georgetown University. While she was doing her PhD at Penn, she worked on the study looking at how the Philly accent is changing. For her research, she talked to more than 100 Philadelphians, and you'll hear their voices during our conversation.
What are some of the defining characteristics of the Philly accent?
Yeah, so Philly's got a bunch of defining features. Some are sound-based features. So in Philly, you'll get, for like a traditional Philly speaker, the word owl, like the flying bird, rhymes with al.
Owl.
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 Like Al Gore. You get what's called back vowel raising. So the word sports gets pronounced like sports.
Sports.
Sports. Sports.
Like or. You get lexical items like John and water.
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 There's some grammatical features, too, that are really wonderful. Like Philadelphians would say, I'm going down the shore.
Right. Just the phrase down the shore would mark you as a Philadelphian.
Yeah.
Betsy, your research shows that this thing we know as the Philly accent is changing, and millennials are the ones driving that change, right?
That's right. Although, I will say, you know, language changes. Language is always changing. This is why you get a lot of people complaining about language all the time, is that they see that it's changing. It basically begins with speakers born around 1983. So after 1983, so we're looking at like classic millennial breakoff points. So after 1983, those speakers start to change. But what we see too is this interaction of age and school network where these magnet schools, basically anybody born after 1983 who went to a magnet school does the new system. And it's slower, it's more slowly getting into the neighborhood public schools and the neighborhood Catholic schools.
I'm interested in knowing the difference between the white Philly accent and the black Philly accent, because there is a distinctive difference.
There is a distinctive difference, and this is really interesting as well. So before the Great Migration, Black Philadelphia English was in many ways very similar to White Philadelphia English. Hmm. And then starting with the Great Migration, you see Philadelphia start to become more and more segregated. And one thing that segregation does is, well, okay, so it does two things. One, people moving up from the South moved to Philly, and that had a huge impact on Black Philly English. But the other thing is, as groups become more segregated, they're able to diverge. So this is where social factors play out linguistically really hugely. The short A system, which is one of these like classic Philly features, it's super complex. It's in fact the most complex short A system that I know of.
Can you just briefly describe what you mean by that?
Yeah, give us an example.
Yes. So this is the vowel sound in the word trap.
Okay.
Wherein for most speakers of American English, there's two different sounds, e and a. And e happens before any N or M. So they'll say man, but cat.
Right.
So Philadelphia English also has two sounds, e and a. But the words that belong in each category are super complicated. So a Philadelphian will say gas.
Gas, angle, med.
But manage and dad.
Dad.
They will absolutely say that. That's absolutely true. I mean, just thinking about how friends of mine talk.
Yeah.
I never thought of that distinction, though.
But that's specifically interesting, too, with this history of increasing racial segregation in the city. You know, in the early 1900s, Black Philadelphians had basically the traditional Philadelphia gas manage split.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As segregation increased, now there's two ways to sound traditionally Philadelphian. One is this gas manage thing. And then there's a traditional Black Philly English way to pronounce words like trap. And that's with a single target that's kind of like eh. So you'll get speakers saying bad, gas.
Gas, dead, panned, mad.
It's all the same sound.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
This is so interesting that you say this because African-Americans I know who are older sound like white Philadelphians, I've noticed. Like there's more of a common accent. And people like Black people I went to school with that do have a completely different accent. And I'm like in my 30s. So I don't know if that goes along with this divergence of the Black and white Philly accents that you're talking about.
Yes. Can I ask what school you went to?
Yeah. I went to a Philadelphia public magnet school.
Okay.
It's called Kappa. It's the performing arts school in Philadelphia.
Oh, Kappa is one of our outliers. Okay, yeah. So. Gets...
Of course I have to be the outlier.
Right? So congratulations. So the picture gets more complicated when you look at schooling as well. So this is another place that we see a lot of de facto segregation. Historically, what you end up getting is white kids going to the Catholic schools and Black kids going to the neighborhood public schools. And so you get these big segregation indexes amongst school systems as well. But once you get to the level of these magnet schools, these sort of special admissions schools, you get integration and you also get people from outside of Philly moving in and sending their kids to those schools as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we find this in the history of there's this huge change that's happening in Philly right now, where both traditional Philadelphia short A systems, the gas manage and the gas manage, are both shifting amongst people who graduated from these magnet schools. Those speakers are starting to do sort of the standard of North America.
And we're also seeing a time in Philadelphia where we're getting a lot of newcomers to the city. The city is growing. I mean, over the past 10 years, the city has been growing in population for the first time since we lost a lot of people.
Yeah, it's also kind of a city that is potentially in the middle of a shifting sort of ideology of the city as a whole. So for a long time, Philadelphia was sort of synonymous with a sort of working class identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in very recent years, there's been a sort of push to advertise Philly as like a place where you can work on a tech startup.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or there's a lot of like medical startup businesses happening in Philly. There's a big changing demographic in immigrant groups in the city. And that's kind of a wild card where what features will they be bringing in that will get picked up by the communities they're interacting with?
And that's sort of the next threshold of research, do you think?
I think that would be very exciting.
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We're talking with linguist Betsy Sneller about why the Philly accent is changing.
I just want to throw this question out at you, Betsy. Pop culture. We see a lot of movies that are set in Philadelphia. I'm thinking of Silver Linings Playbook.
The first night that Pat and I met at my sister's, the Eagles beat the 49ers handily 40-26. The second time we got together, we went for a run, and the Phillies beat the Dodgers 7-5 in the NLCS.
Rocky.
Yo, Adrian, it's me, Rocky.
Are those realistic accents that those actors are using?
Ha, mostly no. So what we find in most movies that are set in Philadelphia is that somebody with a New York English accent is the main character. This is part of the reason that when Philadelphia, English-speaking Philadelphians go out into the world, people have no idea where they're from. Because, you know, they see Rocky and they're like, oh, that's what a Philly English accent sounds like.
Rocky, how did you come to train in an icebox?
My friend, the guy over there, he let me in one day and I hit the beef here and I kind of liked it. And since I've become a challenger, the owner don't mind neither that I come in.
Can I ask a question about myself? And I think that you've kind of gotten to all the points here, but I don't feel like I have a very strong Philly accent. And now that I've talked to you about it, it seems like the factors that go into a Philly accent, I just simply wasn't exposed to. I went to a Philly magnet school.
Although I will say, in that sentence that you just said, you had a couple features of Philly English. So for example, you said very.
I'll tell you a funny story. There was a person here who worked here, and her name was, I'm going to spell it for you. It's K-E-R-R-Y.
And did she say Carrie, but you say Kerry?
I said Carrie, and she thought I was calling her like curry, like the Indian
like
dish.
Curry chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Well, this has been so interesting,
it
Betsy.
Really has,
thank you
Betsy.
So much for talking to us about this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And me, Annette John Hall.
Along with Alex Stern and Xavier Lopez, Kelsey Hansen produced this episode. And I should point out, Annette, that all three of them are millennials. And they are currently giving me the stink eye for blaming them for killing the Philly accent.
I'm sorry about that. I'm looking at you, Kelsey. I'm sorry, Kelsey.
Sorry, Kelsey.
We love you guys.
Sorry, Kelsey. But also stop killing the Philly accent. We had editorial direction from Katie Culinary and editing help on this episode from Eugene San.
Do you have a Philly accent? And how do you feel about your accent changing in the years to come?
Let's start a conversation on Twitter. I'm at Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm at Annette J.H.
Have a very good day.
Very, very good day.
Very good.